When two dams in the Midland area of Michigan broke under heavy rains and dramatically high water levels a few weeks ago, it forced evacuation of 11,000 people. It damaged homes, businesses, and land quality. These privately owned dams were repeatedly cited for improper maintenance, and when they broke, it was bad enough to be considered a once-in-500-years flooding event. Except our aging dams infrastructure, more severe weather events as a result of climate change, and a lack of investment almost guarantees it's going to happen again sooner rather than later. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest today is an expert in such matters. Dr. Richard Norton is a professor of urban and regional planning at the University of Michigan's Taubman College of Architecture and Urban Planning. And thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Did the dam breaks in mid-Michigan surprise you at all?
Well, they were unhappy, and you know, you never know when something like that is going to happen. But at the end of the day, I was not surprised.
Now, there are about 2,500 dams across the state of Michigan, and the average age about 70 years. As I understand it, dams are built with a 40 to 50-year lifespan in mind. So now you add in climate change and predictions of far more significant weather events. How do you rate the chances of another dam burst?
Wow, so that's a really difficult question, and it kind of lines up with this question of how do you gauge the likelihood that another storm is going to happen, and it's all probability. We talk about the 500-year storm or the 100-year storm or the 50-year storm, and that's just a way to try and capture the uncertainty of these kinds of events. So you know with a fair degree of certainty that it's going to happen. What you don't know is when it's going to happen and how bad it's actually going to be.
Well, the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, Evan Pratt, he says, if the ground is the sponge, then I like to say the sponge is full. And that doesn't bode well, does it?
No, it doesn't. We are facing conditions with the increased storminess and base levels of precipitation. And then you're right, we have so many dams that probably are not being maintained as well as they could. Or should be.
And it makes no difference if they're privately, state, or municipally owned, right?
Not so far as I know. I haven't honestly studied in depth the condition of dams across the state, but I know there are a lot of them. A lot of them are privately owned. And just in general, we've not done a good job of maintaining our infrastructure, dams, roads, or other systems around the state, again, as well as we could or should be.
Our Issues of the Environment conversation with Dr. Richard Norton continues on 89.1 WEMU. Dr. Norton, a professor of urban and regional planning at the University of Michigan's Taubman College of Architecture and Urban Planning. Dr. Norton, the former executive director of the Huron River Watershed Council, is now the head of the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition. Laura Rubin is calling for greater movement towards removal of obsolete dams. From a purely planning perspective, do you see that as beneficial to the environment and what we may be facing?
Absolutely. It would be beneficial both from an ecological perspective. Natural systems work better when they function naturally, and dams are artificial structures introduced into systems that don't allow the passage of water or fish species as readily as they might. And then they also create this kind of false sense of security for folks living downstream of them. We build these structures and we think we're good. And then quite often we build maybe more downstream than we would have otherwise, thinking that we've solved the problem. And when the dam finally goes, the impact is worse than what it would have been.
If we want to bring it to a local perspective, in Ypsilanti, removal of the Peninsular Paper Dam has been approved, and when and if that's accomplished, it's not really expected to change the boundaries of the Huron River in that area very much. Is that true of most of the dams in the state, or does it change, perhaps significantly, the boundaries of some of our waterways and therefore the landscape as well, if those dams are removed?
Well, the boundaries, certainly you have impoundments, the area that where the water is kind of backed up behind the dam. And when you take out a dam, that tends to reduce the impoundment. So you see the thread of the stream or the river reappear and more narrowly than what was there before. It doesn't really change the overall floodplain, I don't think, when you take out a dam. It does reduce probably the flood inundation zone or the failure zone downstream of a dam because you won't have that kind of catastrophic surge of water like we saw in Midlands.
With the luxury of hindsight, what mistakes did we make along the line when it came to our dams? Just too many?
Well, you know, we built a lot of dams without thinking through the implications, maybe, and then we've maintained them because in some ways it's easier to maintain them than to take it out. It's not a small matter. to take out a dam. You need to do some study to make sure there aren't contaminated sediments behind it. And if there are, you have to clean those out. And you certainly have to be careful when you're taking the dam out that you don't actually cause a failure. But having said that, we probably should be thinking hard, particularly when dams are inspected and we realize, you know, this needs to be fixed. That's the time to really ask, should we fix it or should we go ahead and take it out? And probably should be leaning more towards taking them out unless there's a really good reason to keep it in.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and our Issues of the Environment guest is Dr. Richard Norton, Professor of Urban and Regional Planning at the University of Michigan. Dr. Norton, you certainly know we are impermeable in so many areas now, and as we continue to deal with climate change, we have government leaders, environmentalists, and policy experts calling for greater density and reducing sprawl in the effort to reduce our carbon footprint. Does that exacerbate potential flooding issues?
You have to think about it in two ways. One is, where are you locating people and are you putting them in high-risk places? And then the second is, overall, when you look at the larger landscape, how much new impervious surfaces are we adding to the system? The more impervious surface you have, the more quickly water flows off the landscape into the watercourses and the more you're making the flooding worse. So in one sense, building in more dense urban places allows you to minimize the amount of impervious surface you have per capita or for the given amount of people that you're trying to accommodate. So that helps.
So
the problem is if you locate those folks in a flood hazard zone, you may be making it worse.
Right.
So the best thing to do is figure out how to build more densely, but do it in places that are not at high risk because of the nature of the floodplain.
But have you and your colleagues put thought and effort into what it would take to fully retrofit the communities that we've already built with its aging infrastructure so that we have a more sustainable future?
Yeah, so you're hitting right on the really difficult challenge. We've built in a lot of places that in retrospect probably weren't good places to build. And so that raises difficult questions about, do we elevate and hope that we can just keep things out of harm's way if the storm hits, or do we start picking up things and moving them back now? And do we do that before the next storm hits, or do we do it after the storm hits? And instead of just restoring back in a bad place, is that the time that we pick up and move? And those are really the questions that communities have to grapple with themselves. I don't think as a planner I want to go into a community and say, you have to do this. It's the only logical thing to do. And what we really try and do is come into a community and really lay out on the table, okay, here are all of the things you're facing and kind of the pros and cons of the different things you should be thinking about. And you as a community, you need to decide, is the time come to move? Is the time come to build a stronger dam and hope it doesn't fail? Maybe it's time to take the dam out and let the water course go back to nature. Maybe it's time to start moving structures back or at least elevating them. So really planning is all about helping communities figure out what are the risks they're facing and think through what's the best way for us to proceed.
There is almost nothing we have discussed that isn't truly cost prohibitive given the economy. And in this pandemic ravaged economy, the need for unprecedented investments in infrastructure, where do we find the money and what are the potential repercussions of not making the investment despite our situation?
Yeah, so two thoughts there. You get what you pay for. I read in a news report that the state of Michigan has over 2,500 dams and we only have two inspectors statewide to inspect those dams. So I think that's pretty good evidence that we're underinvesting in the public resources we need to maintain the things that we're doing. So part of what we need to think about is, do we have enough revenues? I know that's raising the ugly tax word, and I know that's a really difficult conversation to have, but we're getting the resources that we have for what we've been willing to spend on them. So we probably need to be rethinking questions about public finance. And then the second thing is, we kind of get away with that because we forget that no matter what you do, you're going to face costs. And you're either going to face them now or you're going to face them later. So if we don't want to pay, think ahead now and kind of avoid harms when they happen, we're going to really pay when those harms happen. And now we're faced with just extraordinary recovery costs. You know, the folks in Midland are now paying the price of not having thought through and planned out a little bit better. So we've got to get over this notion that, gosh, we can't plan for this or we can't take steps to solve this problem because that's going to have costs. Well, we're going to pay costs at some point. The question is, now or later, and then I can start throwing out, you know, truisms like a penny spent now is worth a pound in the future. So we probably need to do a better job of thinking through the long-term consequences of the decisions we're making.
Much easier to talk about than actually accomplish, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's really easy to talk about these things in the abstract. It's really hard to talk about them when you're facing real dollars and costs, and who's going to bear those costs, and how do we spread them out? And the honest truth is there's just no easy answers here.
Well, we will have to continue to ask the questions, seek out the answers, and then ultimately take some action and put forth some implementation. So we'll have those conversations as we move towards that direction. Thank you so much for the time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That is Dr. Richard Norton. He is professor of urban and regional planning at the University of Michigan's Taubman College of Architecture and Urban Planning, our guest on Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commission, and it's heard each Wednesday. To visit the archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.